We are reading in the writings of Bala Sulam. We are on the article, The Essence of Religion and Its Purpose. You can find the book on our site, kabbalahmedia.info. You can send questions to the Arvut system and through our sites. The Essence of Religion and Its Purpose.
Yes, this is a very important article. Of course, it is short, and maybe he's not going to tell us of all the questions and doubts and debates that have arisen in the topic of religion and the purpose of religion, the essence of religion. That's something that humanity is involved in for thousands of years. And when do we begin to count when religion started in man? We had the wild man, right, thousands of years ago. And what do we have today already with religion? And besides the term religion, does a person need it? Does he need to develop it? Whatever it may be, he can't leave it, disconnect from it. And why do we need religion so much in our lives? Is it not enough for us that we live here in this world and more or less make an effort to exist? What are we missing? What are we lacking? Let's see what Bala Sulam writes. And surely there'll be a lot more questions after. But in any case, we'll have material to think about more. And also we'll better understand in our times and the history that we're going through how much these things continue to be very important. And we see that the term religion awakens in man and doesn't leave him. And as much as a person may develop, and it seems to him that he becomes free and it's not important to him anymore, but then we see that it's not really true. The term religion is standing next to us truly, walks next to us, progresses, and it doesn't leave. So please, let's learn it. The essence of religion and its purpose.
The essence of religion and its purpose. In this article, I would like to resolve three issues. One, what is the essence of religion? Two, is its purpose intended for this world or for the next world? Three, is its purpose to benefit the Creator or the created beings? At first glance, the reader might be surprised by my words and will not understand these three questions that I have set before me as the topic of this essay. One, for who is it who does not know what is religion? Two, and especially its reward and punishment, which we hope to obtain primarily in the next world. And needless to say, regarding the third question, that everyone knows that it is to benefit the created beings, to guide them to delight and happiness. And what else need we add on this? Indeed, I have nothing more to add. But because they are so familiar with these three concepts from infancy, they do not add or further examine them for the rest of their lives, and this shows their lack of knowledge about these exalted matters, which are necessarily the very foundation upon which the whole structure of religion lies. Therefore, you tell me, how is it possible that a child of 12 or 13 years of age can already thoroughly grasp these three subtle notions, and so sufficiently that he will not need to add any further learning for the rest of his life. Indeed, here lies the problem. For this rash conjecture brought with it all the recklessness and wild conclusions that have come into our world in our generation, and has brought us to a state where the second generation has almost completely slipped from under our hands. Rav, if there are questions, please. None. Meaning either everything is understood or we don't understand anything. One or the other.
Moscow 4.
Раф, вот маленький вопрос. Вот здесь Бальсулам перечисляет.
Раф, small question.
Говорит, что известно.
Бальсулам in the second paragraph here writes, it's clear. Religion. How does he write this?
Религия также.
That the reward is mainly expected right in the next world, but religion also offer something people in this world, right? People want to receive something now.
Well, that's the way that each explains it to himself or to the others. There are religions that are more aimed towards the next world, where after a person dies, that's how they explain the next world. There are those that say, no, religion also helps us in this world, that we receive some compensation, a mental or emotional compensation, so it will be good for us in the next world and also in this world. That's why it's easier for us. We can justify our lives, that which we have here. And there are those that everyone says, no, it's with an emphasis specifically to this world and not the next. Where if we believe, we are investing as much as possible actions and such in our world, in our daily lives, in our correction, in our functioning with our children, family, and society, and that helps us in this life of this world. Each and every one, altogether, every single religion, every country, every society interprets it one way or another in the form of who does this religion benefit. But the main thing is that it benefits a person, whether it's in this world or the next, but it's for the benefit of a person.
Спасибо, учитель. Раф, а что нам нужно вынести из этой статьи? Что должны увидеть, услышать?
Thank you, teacher.
Раф, what do we need to take from this article?
We will see this along the way. It's like right now, I don't know anything. I'm just learning his approach to religion in as much as he's explaining to us what it is.
Brazil.
Yes, Rav, does this role of religion, does it also apply to us in our society? Do we actually go through this as well?
No, our society of Bnei Baruch does not receive all these things, but rather it learns from it how it needs to relate to the concept of religion altogether. Whether it receives religion that is written here and accept it as what we call people from the street outside of the walls of Bnei Baruch, or that we need to establish for ourselves, and Bnei Baruch touches this later on, that we need to establish for ourselves the concept of religion in a different manner. That we are building the religion of our own in a different way. And here comes the problem where our contradiction to the whole concept of religion that is accepted in the nations, in all the nations, as the concept of our religion is opposite. That we need to attain
that
the religion in this world. We need to attain it through our special work in nullification of our will to receive, and that religion is really to benefit the one who works, the one who implements the religion, and the one that does actions in order to make the religion to a knowledge. We will see this soon. Siberia.
А разве можно к этому добавить еще что-то? И действительно добавить мне нечего. Не совсем понял, что я
здесь. Could we add something to this? And then he says, indeed, I have nothing more to add. What does he...
Those questions that regular people ask, there's nothing to add, because they're asking all the questions that can observed within the ego of a person, within the nature of man. So, tell me, what do I need to do now that I'm alive, when I die, with my relatives and with the world, and so on? But where I do like I am, whereas the wisdom of Kabbalah says you need to work not with what you have outside of you, but rather what you are within. You need to change your qualities, your internal qualities, and then you'll reach a state, an understanding, a feeling of what religion is. That religion altogether is a means to reveal the Creator.
Italivan.
Buongiorno, Rav.
Good morning, Rav. Can we understand that the next world as our next state, the overcoming of descent?
The next world is the feeling, like this world is a feeling. This is a sensation that we are under the control of the Creator, the revelation of the Creator in the Creator. That's the whole difference between religion and Kabbalah. That religion gives a person some opportunity. You do these and those actions, and you will believe that you will receive for it a compensation, because it's good in the eyes of the upper force. In the wisdom of Kabbalah, we're told, only under the condition that you will change your nature and reach a state of resemblance, of coming closer to the upper force, to that extent you will reach the payment, the reward, which is that you will be like him. That is actually the goal.
Florida.
As a follow-up to the friend's question from Italy, how does religion benefit us in the next world? How does that
work?
I don't know what the next world is. It's written in the Wisdom of Kabbalah, you shall see your world in your lifetime. That is, that you must reveal here and now the your spiritual world, which is concealed from you not because you're alive or dead, but rather it's concealed because of your ego. So nullify your ego to the extent in which you nullify it. Accordingly, you will be able to feel the next world. Now, here and now, on this spot.
Is this considered, Rav, the purpose of religion?
The purpose of religion is to reach the revelation of the Creator to the created being in this world. That's according to the definition of Bala Sulam. We will soon read that here.
Piti Arba.
Piti 4.
Why does Bala Sulam write that a child 12 or 13 can't grasp all the laws of nature? What's the contradiction here?
Because we think that if he reaches certain ages, he already knows what's good and what's bad, what's the Creator, what's the created being, etc. But in order to truly come to the spiritual attainment, to the true religion, for that we need great work and to reveal it in a very special way. Not in a young age is already, it's not given already at a young age.
What are these conclusions that he's talking about here, Bala Sulam, in the second to last paragraph? On the other hand, what is this second generation that was always almost destroyed from under our hands? What is he talking about?
We will have to clarify and scrutinize this in the future. You can understand from yourselves. There's a big problem here. Because we are in a world that is all religious, with all the different religions and faiths, truly thousands of religions and faiths even, that are in our world, besides the three major religions, which are Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. Besides that, there are many more. So I don't want to detail these matters. We also don't need them because we need to learn what belongs to us and what you understand and attain on your own about the rest of the things. Let it remain for you. The wisdom of Kabbalah doesn't really like to talk for or against something that is outside of it, because it's not too important to us. It's enough for us to know what we engage in. Well, last one, Tel Aviv 4.
Thank you, Rav. That's precisely my question, because Bala Sulam writes in one place that every religion can stay, right? Every nation can stay with their religion. And suddenly he writes a whole article here. He begins with it right away.
That too we need to scrutinize. What does it mean that if a person yearns for love thy friend as thyself, that he can also remain in his religion? Yes? That's how he writes it. And it's true, because one does not bother the other. That's what he's trying to say, that all the religions and faiths that humanity has are all together social guidances of how to erect the correct relationship between people and also between people and the upper force, that it could help a person, but by no means has nothing to do with a relationship between a person and the Creator. Because the Creator is the quality of bestowal, and you can connect to Him only to the extent in which a person from within, from his heart, meaning from his desires, operates towards the Creator and asks Him for the correction of the heart. That's it. Altogether, the wisdom of Kabbalah comes to correct our hearts. So it will be aimed towards the love of others and to the Creator. As much as all the religions and faiths engage in that, you can check. I have yet to find that.
PT 20.
PT 20.
Когда раскрыты все методики, вот люди все-таки предпочитают, например, ислам, да, там
today, говорится о будущем. When all the methods are revealed, and you see many prefer Islam, because it talks about the next world,
а люди все-таки предпочитают будущий мир.
Kabbalah also talks about, and you can see that you receive this reward already in this world, but people simply prefer this engagement in the next world.
This world is not so important. That's what people think. I'm living here more or less, everyone is dead. But after I die, for sure, what awaits me there is a great reward. And therefore, it attracts people. That at any given moment, no matter what happens to me, I will certainly receive what's been prepared for me after my death. Well, we will learn beyond this, and it will be a little clearer for us. Please, Dudi.
We're in under title The Absolute Good. To avoid tiring the readers with long discussions, I have relied on all that I wrote in the previous essay, the Arvut, the mutual guarantee, and especially on all that is explained in the essay Matan Torah, the giving of the Torah, which are all like a preface to the exalted matter ahead. Here, I will speak briefly and simply to make it clear to everyone. First, we must understand the Creator. He is the absolute good. This means that it is utterly impossible that He would ever cause any sorrow to anyone. And this we take to be the first concept, for common sense clearly shows that the basis for any evil doing in the world stems only from the will to receive. This means that the eagerness to benefit ourselves makes us harm others due to our will to satisfy ourselves. Thus, if no being would find contentment in favoring itself, no being would ever harm another. And if we sometimes find some being that harms another without any will to receive for its own pleasure, it does this only because of an old habit that originated in the will to receive, a habit that now rids it of the need to find a new reason.
מכל סיבה חדשה, כנודע.
עד כאן ברור?
Is it clear so far? About what we're reading now.
כן?
Yes?
תשאלו על מה שאנחנו עכשיו קוראים.
Ask about what we're reading now. Let's say, Asia, PT 13, about the paragraph we read now. Please, let's see. No, Asia is no longer, and PT-13 also not. Very well. Write down your questions and ask later. Right now, we want to learn what Baal Salam writes. Here. Please. PT-6. PT-6, please. None? Okay. Well, we'll continue. Yes.
Rav, what habit to harm the others for my own benefit is he talking about?
What exactly is not clear? That every single creature operates either for the benefit of itself, either operates for itself, and if along the way it harms others, that is not from the fact that it wants to harm another, but rather it wants to benefit itself.
Continues afterwards that even if he doesn't find pleasure to harm the others, but he already acts out of a habit, and he doesn't need a new reason.
Where did you see that? And sometimes there we find a certain creature that harms the other without any desire to receive pleasure for itself. It does this only because of an old habit that originated in the will at first. You know, it once was like that, from the will to receive. A habit that now that she received then rids her from every new reason, meaning if at one point she delighted from holding on to someone and enjoyed that holding on, then even though now she doesn't have that reason to hold, that to grab someone, but that instinct guides her and she does it. That's what she's saying. He's saying that nevertheless, in every place that we see relations between all kinds of forms of creatures, whether it's still vegetative, animal, people, if they relate to one another, they relate in a form from which it is good for them in this, and if it's not good for them now in this, but rather they once had good and now they're continuing and doing this out of habit. Habit becomes second nature. Meaning that to observe and keep that habit also gives them pleasure. And that's why they do this.
Hebrew 10.
Thank you, Rav. Can we sharpen the first paragraph that he writes about? Is the Torah is absolute, and what is the evil? What is evil, actually?
Anything that is not guided or aimed towards the development of the created being, meaning the desire to receive towards the goal, to be adhered to the Creator, that is called bad or evil. And everything that it does drive or push the will to receive to adhere to the Creator, maybe through many actions, but that is called good.
And what is then the bad feelings that rise in person? He just feels bad, let's say.
A bad feeling awakens in a person only according to the measure of correction or corruption that exists in him, where he still doesn't agree, feel, or understand the action of the Creator upon him.
Thank you.
Okay. But write down your questions and ask. We need to scrutinize them, truly clarify them all as much as possible. Yes.
Because it is clear to us that the Creator is complete, in and of himself, and needs no one to help him to completion, since he precedes everything. It is therefore clear that he does not have any will to receive. Because he has no will to receive, he is fundamentally devoid of a desire to harm anyone. It's as simple as that.
Again, slower.
Because it is clear to us that the Creator is complete in and of Himself and needs no one to help Him to completion, since He precedes everything. It is therefore clear that He does not have any will to receive. Because He has no will to receive, He is fundamentally devoid of a desire to harm anyone. It is as simple as that.
Again, Hebrew 10. Well, Hebrew 10.
Rav, I wanted to continue the question. I wrote it down beforehand. As you said, so regarding a bad feeling, can you say it's the gap between the intention I have and the intention I'm supposed to have?
We'll wait a little and read. You'll hold back a little bit and then it'll work out good. Otherwise, it's starting to be intolerable. Think. Concentrate your thoughts, your questions, into a more clear fashion, and then we will scrutinize. I respect them, but not in such a way that you immediately shoot. Okay. Next, Dudi.
Furthermore, it makes perfect sense to us, as the first concept, that he possesses a desire to bestow goodness upon others, meaning to his creatures, his created beings. This is evidently shown by the great creation that he has created and set before us. For in this world, there are beings that necessarily experience either a good feeling or a bad one. And that feeling necessarily comes to them from the Creator. Once it becomes absolutely clear that there is no aim to harm in the nature of the Creator, it necessitates that the creatures receive only benefits from Him. For He has created them only to bestow upon them.
This is the assumption. We can say it differently. Why is the Creator bad and not the force of good? Just like we say the other way around, that He is the force of good, and where do we get the force of bad from? Yes?
Thus, we learn that He has only a desire to bestow goodness. And it is utterly impossible that any harmfulness might be in His domain, which could emit from Him. Hence, we have defined Him as the absolute good. Once we have learned this, let us look at the actual reality that is guided by Him, and how He bestows only goodness upon them.
Yes, that's the assumption that's how Bala Sulam writes to us, and he writes it especially in order to later shatter it. In a moment he will show us through the providence how when we feel bad, and if we don't look at the correct goal, then we have no possibility of justifying the actions of the Creator upon us.
No, Be'er Sheva.
Well, Be'er Sheva.
Good
morning, Rav. Good morning, World 10. Please, Rav. It's written, the Creator is the absolute good. And we also learn Israel, the Creator and the Light are one. Meaning, only by the work of the Torah we reach the absolute good. So how here does Bala Sulam define the Creator as the absolute good in and of itself?
I don't know. We didn't learn that yet. We're still learning it along the way. Maybe he'll explain later.
Baron.
Clear?
Dodi.
Thank you, Rav.
Yes.
Title, His Guidance is Purposeful Guidance. By observing nature's systems, we understand that any being of the four types, still, vegetative, animate, and speaking, as a whole, and in particular, are under a purposeful guidance, meaning a slow and gradual growth by way of cause and effect, as a fruit on a tree, which is guided well toward its final outcome of becoming a sweet and fine-looking fruit. Go and ask a botanist how many phases the fruit undergoes from the time it becomes visible until it is completely ripe. Not only do its preceding phases show no evidence of its sweet and fine-looking end, but, as if to anger, they show us the opposite of the final outcome. That is, the sweeter the fruit is at its end, the more bitter and unsightly it is in the earlier phases of its development. And so it is with the animate and speaking types. The beast, whose mind is little at its end, is not so wanting while it grows, whereas man, whose mind is great at his end, is very flawed while developing. A day-old calf is called an ox, meaning it has the strength to stand on its own legs and walk, and the intelligence to avoid hazards on its way. But a day-old infant lies seemingly senseless. Should one who is not accustomed to the conducts of this world examine these two newborns, he would certainly conclude that the human infant will amount to nothing, and the calf will become a new Napoleon, meaning, if he were to judge by the wisdom of the calf compared to the senseless and mindless child,
thus, it is evident that his guidance over the reality that he has created is in the form of purposeful guidance, without taking into consideration the order of the phases of development, for they deceive us and prevent us from understanding their purpose being always opposite to their final shape. It is about such matters that we say there is none wise as the experienced. For only one who is experienced has the opportunity to examine creation in all its phases of development, all the way through its completion, and can calm things down so as to not to fear those spoiled images that creation undergoes in the phases of its development, but believe in its fine and pure end. The reason for this gradual order that is mandatory for every being is thoroughly explained in the wisdom of Kabbalah, and there is nothing more to add here.
We have thoroughly shown the conducts of His guidance in our world, which is only a purposeful guidance. The attribute of goodness is not at all apparent before creation arrives at its completion, its final ripeness. On the contrary, it rather always wears a cloak of corruption in the eyes of the beholders. Thus you see that the Creator bestows upon His creatures only goodness, but that goodness comes by way of purposeful guidance.
Okay, from this we see several things. First of all, that from all the examples and from nature, as we see, the entire development is gradual. In order to lead each and every part in its development to becoming developed towards carrying out its purpose and existing in the final form of all of nature in the best possible way. That's one thing. The second thing is that along the way, as we're developing, we can see specifically opposite states and completely ones that don't point to the final height of that thing that's being developed. Yes, like he says that a person that is born, then after a month or two, three, he's not ready for anything. And animals that are born, after a day or two, they're already, they know how to walk and eat and drink on their own, and so on. And after 3-4 months, they're already like the mature animals. And therefore, a person, we can see this on man, and the extent in which this development is slow and gradual, which just points out to us that in this creature, exalted matters are growing inside this creature, and although he appears weak right now and small, but this small one will be great, will be big. It's probably that way. This is what we usually see in nature. This just points out to us that we can't look at it with our eyes and in a way that is like now, in a short way, a sudden way, but rather see everything in the perspective of development from its beginning to its end, at which point we will be able to discuss correctly each portion, each part of creation, how good, bad, large, small, and so on it is. PT3.
So I didn't understand his conclusion that the Creator bestows to His creatures only goodness, all the time. Maybe, I mean, you could say this at the end, but in the middle of the process, everyone suffers, right? But so how could he say always it's good?
Also, through their suffering, they suffer in order to develop. And you can't reach the filling, the fulfillment, unless it is through a feeling of suffering. That's why they suffer. But even their suffering comes from the side of the good from the Creator, and this suffering is for their benefit.
Maybe that's understood, but the will to receive can't agree to this. If the Creator is good, why is there suffering? Right? That's the question the desire can't comprehend.
If the Creator is good, why is there suffering? So that a person will be able to gather this suffering, this collective suffering, and then use it for the sake of development. Because without that certain charge of suffering, he won't have the foundation with which to reach the good. And he must have that. In every system that we build, even artificially, you must have there a plus relative to the negative. And only in such a way it exists.
Well, this explanation is very understood. The question is, it's not felt. Again, the will to receive doesn't agree with this. He wants better and better. And if the Creator is good, then he can do everything, and he created everything, then it's his business. He should make it like this without suffering. Why is it not possible?
No, the Creator doesn't feel the suffering. For the Creator, the end of an act is in its initial thought, and that suffering that we have to go through, he does not take that into consideration and does not look at that as suffering. He looks at the extent in which this suffering that we may feel in certain moments of our existence, but rather it brings us to perfection.
How can we live in that grasp, in that perception that you said now, that the final action is by the...
I don't know. Ask a woman that wants to get pregnant and ask her, but it's so difficult. It hurts so much. It's such a problem to go through all those months and then to give birth. And it's truly... And what will she tell you? That she wants this or not? She does want this. Is she afraid of this or not? She's not afraid. You don't understand that because you're a man. But she's not afraid. She's not afraid and she doesn't stop herself because of it. No woman. Why? Because it's nature that operates, and then the force to attain the goal to be a mother and so on is more important and more powerful than all that comes along the way. Because usually she doesn't even take that into consideration.
How can we live today as if we're already in adhesion with the Creator?
That depends on importance. That depends on the extent to which you now develop in you the importance of the Creator relative to the importance of your ego. And then you come to a state in which you don't feel. You don't feel that you're suffering. But rather all this suffering becomes pleasure.
New York 4.
Is a good balanced life on earth a prerequisite for humanity to reach spirituality?
Must humanity reach, we
learn all the time that from our good connections, all of nature will come into balance. So the question is, must all of nature on earth come into balance before humanity reaches spirituality? Or will we just jump?
No.
All of nature comes into balance as a result of humanity coming into balance, and not beforehand. not before that. Meaning, let's say if we now will arrange the relations between us a little better, then nature, including the viruses that we have of today and all kinds of other things, will start to calm down. If we don't do that, then Earth will start more and more to show itself that it is in contradicted forces that lead to hurricanes and heat waves and cold waves and more and more and more. And this is all because we, on our level, are not balanced. The moment we start to become balanced, to that extent, we will also calm down all the degrees that are below us. That's how it is.
This happens before spirituality for humanity.
Yes, we don't have to, everyone in all of humanity, reach spirituality. The moment we have such a trend, such an inclination, more or less, then we will feel the extent in which nature calms down. Otherwise, we will have a very difficult future. Okay?
PT 9.
PT 9.
Rav, what is there is none wiser than the experienced in our path?
Because one who's been through the whole process already understands what needs to be, and therefore he looks at the whole process as being for the good. That's it.
אבל זה לא אנחנו, כן? כי אנחנו בהגדרה לא יכולת לנו ניסיון. תמיד כל מדרגה חדשה היא בהפתעה, מעל הדעת.
That's not us, right? Because what experience we have? We always need to go above reason.
But you have people that already went through this, and they're teaching you.
Yes, hi, Rav. In one side, we have the world, and it's plain, it's the creator. And I'm supposed to justify that. And on the other hand, I have, you know, we have the group, and we're constantly justifying it. How in between? How does one relate to the other, or there is no relation in between?
Shortly, please.
Ask it short again, please.
One side there is the world, on the other side the ten. And we have to justify both. How are they interconnected?
To the extent in which we understand more and more that everything is in the hands of the Creator, and only as we are inclined towards Him in equivalence of form, by that we can bestow upon all the forms of nature. The main thing is to change man, and from man and down, it's going to already all change.
Tel Aviv 3.
Tel Aviv 3.
Rav, is there some objective observation in reality without any connection to my state as I am, as an observer? Is such a thing possible to look at reality like this?
There is no objectiveness whatsoever. That's why your question is not clear to me. Where do you see something objective?
Bala Salam writes here that when we look at object in reality, then everything is at a certain stage of development, and it's hard to judge state, right? But it's as if he's looking at it from the side, and he's saying, well, the objects are like this and that, without any connection to himself. Is there such a thing?
I don't understand you. I don't understand the question. I'm sorry. PT 29.
Is What points to this, that the initial state has to be opposite to the final state? As an example, let's say with the baby that he gives.
I also don't understand. Repeat the question.
The fact that the final state must be opposite, the first state must be opposite to the final state, as the example with the baby, does this point to some rule, a more general rule, where every initial state must be opposite from the final one?
The first state and the final state, in our case, they must be opposite, because along the way they receive correction from above and therefore invert, flip. Yes. Okay, what I'm asking is, please go over this part of Providence is purposeful, and prepare questions also about the absolute good altogether from the beginning of the article. And whatever you ask, we will talk about and scrutinize. Okay. Well, let's go to Moscow 7, and you'll be last.
Нарав, вы сейчас приводили пример о женщине, которая очень хочет забеременеть.
Yes, Rav. Now you gave us this example, getting a woman who wants to get pregnant, right? Despite seemingly that it's killing her body, but because of an awakening in her from side of nature, nonetheless, she wants it very much. She invests all of her energy and efforts into it. By us, in order to feel spirituality, we have no desire. On the opposite, all our nature is opposite to this. So where can we take such a desire that's so great, like that same woman who has...
This is only from above, from the Creator, but it comes to the by the chance that we prepare for this new desire, the infrastructure, which is our connection in the group.
That's it.
We need to understand that in the connection between us, we are building the same place where we can enter into impregnation, into Ibu. We ourselves build this. Imagine to yourself that you're hugging your friends together in a circle, and you hold on to this circle, and more and more truly establish it, stabilize it correctly, so that a spiritual force will be born there, your spiritual force, the result of your connection. It's as if you're giving birth to the Creator, as it's written, "You made me." That's all in our hands. Good. We will conclude with that. And as usual, we'll continue during the day. Good luck.
Best of all of us. Schedule for today, 10 to 10:30 is the Secrets of the Eternal Book with Rav, and 10:30 to 11 is the news program with Rav. Thank you to everyone, and now song.
Дно, преодолев туман, где правда есть, а где пустой мираж. Oh, Cause if you take the time tonight, I'll help you step into the light. Because together we can make the darkness bright. Соединим, и мы достигнем нашей цели, слиться с ним. Juntos en unidad, la solución en tus manos está. To the skies,
look up to the skies.
Cause if your day feels like the night, I'll help you step into the light. Because together we can make the darkness bright. Open your eyes,
open your eyes.
Oh, look up to the skies. Cause if your day feels like the night, I'll help you stand.